ECU, Rabbit Nation, Purple and Gold family, stand to your feet, put your crossbones up, and lean side to side, yeah, and lean side to side, yeah, and lean side to side, come on, yeah, 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 welcome to the island, man, it's crazy in here, a whole sea of purple and gold waving in here.
Welcome into the Pirate Preview here on the Sports Objective. We're getting ready for a big game on Saturday night, Dowdy Ficklin, 6 o'clock against Charleston Southern. I'm Dave Richmond along with my good friend Kyle from LaGrange. Barber, how are you, dude?
What's going on, Dave? Yeah, hopefully Pirates can get two in a row after we took care of business up in Huntington last Saturday night. Now, coming home against Charleston Southern, FCS opponent, Pirates need to get this one to get to 2-2.
42-38 over Marshall, and we're past that now as we're looking forward to the next game. And hard to believe the month of September already gone, my friend. Four games, three down and one to go for this month.
Yeah, it's it went by fast. I think most Pirates that are realistic, I had the idea in their head of going 2-2. I think best case scenario was 3-1. Yeah. And I think most people thought we'd lose to Marshall. I think most people thought we'd beat App or South Carolina, or maybe App and South Carolina, and lose at Marshall. And lo and behold, Marshall's the one we won. And Marshall and App are playing right now in a hell of a back and forth ball game as we are broadcasting live and recording. If you're listening on a podcast app on a Thursday night, but I don't know. Like you said, September's almost gone. One more game left in the month, and it is desperately dire that we take care of business and get to 500.
Yeah, we get 2-2 as we predicted on this show, and most Pirate fans have, that, you know, you go 500 and you get the a good chance at the bowl. And I tell you what, guys, if you can win this week, the Pirates are definitely, Mike Houston and company, not overlooking Charleston Southern. By the way, on the show, before we forget, we had two great guests of the all-time leading running back as far as the number of yards in Notre Dame history as a coach of Charleston Southern, Autry Denson. He's been great to us back in the summertime, and we're going to play some clips from him about the offense. Kyle, you were with us on Tuesday night after our show. We interviewed him, the defense, special teams, about another clip. We're going to ask him about it was actually Kyle's question. We're going to ask him about how he feels about FCS and FBS moving to the spring and playing football games. So we'll get his answer on that. We also have Jeff Barber, the director of athletics, a native of Greenville. He graduated from Rose High and, of course, went to ECU and graduated in 1977. He had a great long tenure at East Carolina before going in multiple stops, including Liberty, and now is the third director of all time at the great school Charleston Southern. And so we'll get his thoughts on Greenville and Pirates and the like. We'll talk to him as well. We have actually some clips. If you want to get the full interviews, we'll put those up. We'll have some of those clips and thoughts from those guys inside the show. Kyle, I tell you what, with this game, like you said, another great chance for us to have a home game. It's great that you get that win in Marshall. That was the one you were worried about, I know, in game three. But now what's nice is you have a win on the road, something the Pirates couldn't do in the and previously. And now they're able to do that. Plus, they have the home game. You feel like you have a good shot against Charleston Southern. That brings you 2-2. And then, lo and behold, you have a two-game homestand. You have Tulane next week as well.
Yeah, take a deep breath, Dave. It was good to get the win over Marshall. Like we said, we've kind of talked that to death. It was, a one that everybody's going to remember. But it's time to move on past that. Charleston Southern, comes in. They're 1-1 on the year. Lost to Monmouth, beat the Citadel, their crosstown rival down there in Charleston, and then lost to Monmouth, who's a top 25 FCS program. And so 1-1, they run kind of an air raid style offense. Guys who like that old Lincoln Riley offense, it'll look familiar to you. They have a lot of air raid tendencies to their offense anyway. Gave up a lot of points to Monmouth. I don't have that score here in front of me, but I know they gave up a lot of points. It should be an interesting game. You got to handle your business when you're taking on a FCS opponent. And the Pirates haven't done that in the past. they have under Mike Houston, but under the previous head coach, you know, we lost to Mike Houston in JMU, and we lost to North Carolina A&T. Everybody will remember that one. So we know we have to take FCS opponents seriously. And you want to go to some of those comments from coach now?
Let's put it. Well, we've got Scott Shook. We have the chairman of the board of trustees. We're going to put his Facebook comment up first. Thank you, Scott, as always, for coming on Great Pirate. He's saying that Tulane maybe is the most important game of the year.
Let's get off that. I'm Scott. No disrespect, but if I hear one more person say that Tulane's the most important game of the year, I'm going to scream. Look, just like South Carolina was the most important game of the year, right? We lost to it. Then what do we do the next week? We beat Marshall. Now, what does that show everyone, boys and girls? We have the ability to win on the road. Now, what's to say we don't lose to Tulane, then go beat Houston and UCF? I mean, I don't – people have this misconception of Tulane. I'm not so sure Tulane's not better than Houston and UCF without their quarterback. UCF lost their quarterback for several weeks against Louisville. I'm not so sure Tulane is not better than both of them now. This ain't your daddy's Tulane. They play good football, and I know they gave up a lot of points to Ole Miss. And Scott Shook, I'm not taking this out on you. I'm just sick of hearing the Tulane is the game of the year. Look, we can lose to Tulane, then go win one of our next two on the road against Houston or UCF, and we'll be three. And we'll be at that point, if we won one of those next two, we'd be 3-4. Here's the key: you got to beat Temple, you got to beat USF. You got to beat Navy, because those three are very bad this year. And I know we have a bad history against Navy. They're terrible so far this year. You got to take care of your business against those three, okay? So, in my opinion, what you got to do to get to a bowl, any combination to get to six will work. But in my opinion, your must-wins are Charleston Southern, South Florida, Temple, Navy, okay? Now, that would give us five wins. So, you got to steal one. Tulane, Houston, UCF, we just need to win one of those. To me, after Charleston Southern, for my path to get to a bowl, we need to win one of our next three, be it Tulane, UCF, or Houston. And again, the road ain't no issue for us. We played our best game of the year on the road. And if you remember last year, we played well on the road. We played well at Tulsa. So,
yep. Scott Shook says, you're not wrong. I know Tulane is better, no doubt, but maybe the most winnable game of UCF, Houston, and Memphis. Well, you know, Memphis actually is, you know, who knows?
Memphis just beat Mississippi State.
I know they did. My point is, you make a great point. If you ask a Coach Houston would say every game is the most important.
And I'll tell you something else. If we've learned anything from watching Coach Houston football teams, when he plays teams that like to run the ball and like to play good defense, he tends to do the same thing against them, and it doesn't work out well. Tulane, for example, likes to play hard-nosed defense, and they like to run the ball. We tend to do better, Tulsa, SMU, when we're playing teams that like to – and Marshall – when we're playing teams that like to spread it out, and we have to do what they're doing to keep pace. So that's why, again, I really like that Houston game. I'm telling you, now watch, I'll have to eat my words, but that Houston game just intrigues me. I think help me out, Dave, Houston's head coach.
Oh, Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah, I think Holgorsen's a bit unmotivated these days. And I'm just telling you, we haven't played Houston in a while. There's just something about that Mike Houston at Houston. Their stadium's called TDECU. That one, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be surprised to see us walking out of Houston with a win. But that's a long way between now and then. And I'm glad, I hope we beat Charleston Southern and everybody packs Dowdy Ficklin. It feels like that Tulane game is the most important game of the year. I just don't want everybody losing their minds if we don't beat them. There's still a lot of football left to be played. And you watch this Marshall team play Appalachian State right now. They're a good football team. That was a legit good win the other night. So this football team can compete with anybody left on the schedule. You know, maybe Cincinnati might be asking a lot. Who knows? But don't give up on the season if we lose to Tulane in a couple weeks.
great pirate here, former mayor of Greenville, Alan Thomas. Hey, AT, how are you doing, brother?
Good, guys. Can you see me okay?
Yeah, we got you, AT.
Yeah, I wonder who you're pulling for.
Deep in the man cave watching the conclusion here, the half of Appalachian picking up the score right for the half. And I guess they hope to get the ball here in the start of the second. But how cool is it to see two teams that we've already matched up with this early in the season? I'm sure you've been talking about it, but kind of a good measuring stick of hopefully our progress, right?
Yeah, Marshall's a good football team. Ali is he is a stud. He may be the fastest running back I've seen since Chris Johnson. He's a superstar on that punt or on that kickoff return for a touchdown earlier. I mean, good God. But kind of rooting for Marshall, Allen. I don't know about you. Just because, App beat us. And so it would look good, I guess, for us if Marshall beats App. You know, we can kind of go, hey, maybe if we played you now, the results would be different.
Yeah, it gives some credence to the fact that hopefully we are improving in some areas. And, hey, we went on the road in a tough environment and picked up took a win late in the game. And you're absolutely correct. You'd love to see Marshall be able to find a way and to go and boom that hostile environment and pick up a win. And just more power for us. And a good day for East Carolina. Picked up a big commitment today at running back and a lot of good things going on. And, Donnie Kilpatrick is, posting memes of folks doing the pimp walk, coming, the coaching staff coming in. And so I think they're feeling pretty, pretty heady here coming into picking up that first victory this past week.
No question about it.
No doubt. Donnie K is always he's always got something interesting to say or tweet or post. AT, we were just talking. Scott Shook had posted on the screen here. He commented, and I've heard several other people make this statement that if we beat Charleston Southern, the Tulane game is the most important game of the season and a must win. And it's driving me crazy to hear people say that. And look, I hope everybody believes that and they pack Dowdy Pickle Stadium for Tulane. But I just think people are putting too much in on that game. If we lose to Tulane, as we've shown, we can win on the road. There's no reason to believe that if we lose to Tulane in a couple weeks, and I'm not looking past Charleston Southern, that we can't then go win at UCF or at Houston. If we lose to Tulane, the season is not a wash.
I'm just curious to see and kind of my thoughts post-game and thinking about it further this week and hearing the coaching comments. And, sometimes you have some difficulties and you're not exactly sure why. And then sometimes you push all the right buttons and you pick up a win and you're not exactly sure why. I look forward to seeing whether we can stretch together 2 weeks in a row with regardless of opponent and seeing us string together two or three quarters in a row of significant offense and superior defense and seeing what we can do. And to me, that's the real key going into this week. It's one of those great scenarios where if we play to our game, the only people that you always hear this saying in football, the only people that can beat us are ourselves this coming Saturday. We got to see us step up, and I want to see some consistency, guys. That's what I'm really looking forward. It's great to have Charleston Southern in, as you said, but, if we show the fact that we can produce in a similar fashion 2 weeks in a row, I agree with you. Any game is possible for the remainder of this season. And who knows where Cincinnati is further down the line, but name me anybody else that, if we can string together a couple of games together of this type of potency on offense and bend but not break defense, and we can't win a game.
Let me ask you a question going back to that Marshall game you're talking about. Pushing the right buttons and can we do it consistently? I hate to say it, but Coach Houston would rather win the ball running it down your throat, and I believe he'll believe he can do that against Charleston Southern, and he probably can. So I wonder how much creativity we'll see in the offense this week just because we don't have to. But with that said, when CJ went out against Marshall, Holton really seemed to play better. And this is not taking anything away from CJ. But I kind of thought, CJ is such a focal point for Holton. He's been playing with him since high school. He targets him so much. I kind of wondered if it made him, scan the field more, find his tight end, go to Audio Amatosho, by CJ not being in there for a few plays.
You know, you have some success with some guys, and I really think the fact that that Calhoun and bringing a potent tight end play to the middle of the field completely changed our dynamic. Changed it. The fact that we had that matchup that we really haven't had all year, all of a sudden it makes a lot of things open. You create that interesting safety valve, and it really puts a stress on the defense. And yeah, sure, you know, CJ and Holton have had this connection for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years. But I tell you also, just the confidence in Omotoso making catches that he wasn't making earlier in the year, having the best game he's probably maybe had in a year and a half, you know, and seeing the tight end play, the first time we've seen that in the Houston era. You know, guys, maybe we're seeing the maturation of this offense right in front of our eyes, that we're not dependent on one matchup. It's not always throw. A few years ago, we had another guy, if you remember, we target 20 or 30 times a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if that gentleman didn't catch the ball, we didn't have a chance. But it's great to see a variety of us being able to spread the field here a little bit and give Holton more opportunity to be successful.
Now, Calhoun, you know, he'd been playing up to this point. I heard he was injured. That's why we haven't been throwing to him as much. What do you know about that?
That's what has been alluded to during the whole process. And then you hear Donnie talking about that we have had a rotation of tight ends and, you know, that quite frankly, the tight ends weren't exactly running the crisp routes and not exactly in the right place at the right time, you know, out of position to make some catches. And, you know, we saw Jones make a great, you know, great early play against Appalachian at tight end. And evidently he's still kind of grasping being in the right place at the right time. You know, to be a good tight end, you got all three phases you got to be able to take care of, right? And we heard all the hype preseason about Calhoun was just this guy that was an NFL quality guy, if not an all conference. You know, shouldn't be a tight end better than him, you know, in AAC play. And I guess we're starting to – maybe this is his breakout game, guys. I mean, we'll see. But I'd love to know that that's – if that's our safety valve for the next couple of weeks, it opens up so much more on our offense. And we still struggling to run the ball. I mean, you notice other than the big run, you know, we really weren't that productive in our running game. And
well, we were late.
We had to throw 50 times.
We were late. We had the one big run, but later in the game, once we actually started going to Calhoun, we were able to run the ball more successful. You know, you're right 100% about Calhoun. It does open up the running game also, not just things in the passing game. And if Calhoun will continue to be a target, I do think it's a difference maker. It's like you're saying on the offense, it's a huge difference maker.
I would love to see Garcia get some snaps. I'd love to see a lot of guys, you know, further in our depth chart, because we're going to need them later. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys that are going to go down. We're going to need to continue to bring up to develop our depth and our talent, guys, for what we know is coming down the path here, you know. And, you know, Charleston Southern is probably a great time to have this matchup. And it's a good measuring stick for – we're playing against ourselves this week and kind of see if we're mature enough to handle a win, right, and able to be going to the second half and be able to, you know, to impose our will and get some guys ready for the next matchup.
No doubt.
No question. And, Alan, we actually have some – Bubba, if you can hear me, we're going to put those up there. But we've got some clips here from, you know, the coach for – there you go. Thank you, Bubba. Marlon Gunn, big-time running back out of Baton Rouge, Miss State.
Yeah. So,
out of Louisiana, one of the best running backs, three-star guy. So, and another publication, I know that was from IGO, said three-star, but another one said four-star. I don't know if that was Rivals, but another one has him a four-star. So, great job there by the coaching staff. For sure.
Well, what it was, Dave, he was a four-star, and then he committed to East Carolina. He immediately lost the star.
Ask Holton about
there
that.
There you go. Absolutely. Pull it right off his hat, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it works, right?
Take the star, right? Yeah. Hey, T, you read my mind about that, about getting reps with other guys, you know, the young guys. Like, I know that Pop McKay, we're hearing that he's doing very well. Donnie Kay said that. So we're doing, we have these guys that we have, that Rajay and Keaton Mitchell, those guys that run back. Hey, great to have him a half or two or three quarters, but put Pop McKay in there as well.
Yeah, we're gonna need that depth at running back. I mean, we know that if you play tailback, you're in a car wreck on every snap. You know, it's just a matter of time before dings and dunks, you know, kind of play their toll. We need to be quality three deep at running back, at least to be effective as we go towards the end of the year. And also defensively, guys, I mean, you get after game, you know, you kind of break up a season and kind of, you know, three or four pieces, right? And you kind of look around and start having some attrition. So we'd love to see, you know, continue to have some depth up front, what we're doing defensively up in the line, and also a linebacker, and see some guys continue to emerge as well, because we're going to need them later in the year. We're going to run into some pretty potent offenses.
Another thing I'd like to see this week, before we get to Audrey, Coach, Lord have mercy, Dave, I called you Coach. Before we get to Coach Audrey Dipson.
I am a coach, actually. Go ahead.
Well, I won't call you Coach, Dave. Before we get to Coach Audrey Dipson, one thing I'd like to see you talk about running backs. If the opportunity presents itself this week to play guys at other positions, and hopefully it will, I'd love to see Keaton Mitchell returning punts or kicks at some point. Tyler Snead does such a great job. Snead is so small, it scares me to death, him touching the ball so much that at some point he's going to get hurt. I'd love to see Mitchell get a chance to return a kick.
Yeah, and you know, it all comes down to the coach's confidence in the kid's hands. I'll be honest with you. You know, we've seen that where, you know, guys can be fast as lightning, but can you trust them, you know, in traffic, you know, making the catch? And maybe Keaton is great at that. Maybe that's an element of his game. I'd love to see it, especially on kickoffs. A little more forgiving in a kickoff opportunity, right? But, you know, the punt game, you know, it's can the guy make the catch, you know, first and foremost, and protect the football? But, hey, kickoff game, we just saw it with Ali, right? They slid him in there in the Marshall game and put a little wrinkle in. Next thing you know, he's, you know, 90 yards down the field and like a scalded dog with a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about, you know, punts being a completely different animal. Kickoffs is probably where you need to see Mitchell try that. And,
yeah.
You know, they've probably done it at practice, I'm sure. But I'd like to see it in the game just to see what it looks like.
All right, speaking of the Charleston Southern game, Alan and Kyle, Bubba, let's go down to Audrey Dipson. We have him now with some clips.
Jack's doing a really good job of going out and just being who he is. When you have a veteran guy, in particular that quarterback position, that's the identity of your offense, right? And so if you don't have a trigger man, someone who you can count on, I mean, it really doesn't matter what you put around him. So he's doing a phenomenal job of doing what he's supposed to do. But I'm really proud that he's making other people around him better. And so and that's what he has to continue to do. And that's what we need him to do. And so I'm pleased with the effort that Jack's putting in, getting on him a little bit about managing the game. He's taking a few sacks that I don't agree with. I think that he has to do that a little bit better. But that's a part of his maturation. You can't be mad at Jack, because usually when he is holding the ball, he's trying to make a play.
Coach, I heard Coach Houston, I believe, refer to your offense as an air raid style offense. Is that what you would consider it?
Yeah, it's a spread tempo offense. We have a lot of we do a lot of air raid principles in it, so I can see why he feels that way.
Coach, talk about some other players on offense that maybe the fans will get a chance to see Saturday night in Dowdy-Ficklin.
Monmouth in the last 2 weeks. J.D. Moore, a young man we got from Abbeville, has really been stepping up in the running back department. Kyrus Barnett has been doing a really good job. O-line looks like they're starting to, you know, start being the people movers we need them to be. And just overall had some receivers. Garrett Swarton had a really good first week. Jeffrey Wall. So we still are trying. As you know, it's early in the season, and you're still trying to figure out if what you've seen in practice is going to match up when the live bullet starts flying. And so we're still in that process of trying to figure out. But those are a few guys who come right to mind who have stepped up and made some plays when we needed them to over the last 2 weeks.
All right. Audrey Dipson there, the head coach of Charleston Southern, of course, all-time leader running back in Notre Dame history. And by the way, you can see that whole interview with Audrey Dipson. We'll have that posted for you, but we got some clips for you right now. Next up, we have Audrey Dipson, and he's going to be talking about the defense. Let's hear that now. or maybe not. We'll get that in just a second. What was your reaction there, Alan?
Is he's the all-time leading rusher in Notre Dame history, huh?
Yes, indeed. He played 2 years under Lou Holtz and 2 years under Bob Davey. And if you remember, Bob Davey's offense was pretty much run, 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 run. So a bit of that's because of the offense he was running. But, yeah, he is indeed.
I spent a number of years in South Bend. Interesting coincidence. I guess Austin probably came just after him. But Lee Becton, if you guys will remember that name. Played tailback at West Craven High School. Actually, his two finalists were East Carolina and Notre Dame, which I know that may sound curious, but he was really interested in staying home. He was known him since he was 6 years old. So it was a special time for 2 or 3 years being able to go to South Bend for 3 games, staying with him on campus and watching them play Michigan, watching them play Charlie Ward in Florida State in that game of the century. And Lee Becton actually still holds the Notre Dame record for the most 100-yard games in a row in Notre Dame. And he was the MVP of that game versus Charlie Ward and those guys in Florida State back in the day. And then what do they do the following week? They lose to Boston College. So yeah, a little interesting footnote there for you guys. A North Carolina, Eastern North Carolina connection, Lee Becton.
And friend of the show, Charlie Ward. Charlie Ward's one of our all-time favorite guests.
Yes.
We had him on here, and he gave us an hour of just audio gold back when we were just an audio-only show.
Well, anytime we want Lee Becton on here, you just let me know. How awesome would it be to have Lee and Charlie relive that game?
Oh, man, that'd be fantastic.
We can do it. Let's make it happen, AT. We can do it.
Yeah, brother, we can do it. Anyway, sorry about sliding off on that, but, you know, great little footnote there with Aldridge's history.
Have we got any more audio from Coach?
We do. We have the defense. Bubba, if you can hear me, let's go to the clip there with the defense with Coach Autry.
Defensively, man, we got a lot of vets, a lot of old heads, and that's a good and a bad thing, right? So it's funny because you talk about those six-year, those super seniors and those guys who are around. And, man, they act just like old men, though. I mean, they act like they 10-year veterans. I mean, it is funny the way they just act and the way it's coach. I'm an old man. But in all seriousness, though, we have some veterans there, some guys who have played a lot of football. So that's always comforting. Coach Zane Vance does a phenomenal job with the culture that they have within our football ministry culture. And so you start talking about Nick Sally's of the world. You start talking about Chandre Mims. You start talking about Anton Williams. Everything starts up front with that D-line. Then you have guys like Justin McIntyre, linebacker core. And then you have Cody Klein and some other guys who played a lot of football. So we're blessed to have a lot of guys who are battle-tested. And we're going to get tested this week. So it's good that they've been through the fire. And you just hope they respond.
Coach, how's your special teams looking so far? Your kicking game, punter, kick coverage, is it on point?
You know what, man? We actually got one block last week, so that is never what you want to have happen, right? The good thing is it was actually just execution error, and so you can get that situated just with personnel and things of that nature. But it that's always one of the deals, man. That it's always a work in progress. Everything is always a work in progress. I mean, what you did last week doesn't matter going into the next week, and I mean every week is starting over from scratch, trying to build on what you've done well while trying to improve upon those deficiencies that are there with everyone at some point in some phase.
That's Coach Autry Denton. He, of course, talking about defense there. And I tell you what, guys, we've got to make sure that we don't overlook Charleston. These guys will come in here hungry. You never know what can happen. And as we told Coach in that interview, if you watch the whole interview, we'll have that up. Coach, we were telling us we're not overlooking FCS programs. One, of course, of Mike Houston in 2017, early in the 2017 season, the first game. And, of course, the first game of 2018 as well. So, A&T.
Yeah, no doubt. You can't overlook anybody. Charleston Southern has a really good offense. They're well coached. Coach Dempson knows what he's doing. He played for Lou Holtz. I mean, they'll come in here and it'll be their Super Bowl. And they got a couple of Eastern North Carolina kids. They got a kid from West Craven, and they got a kid from J.H. Rose. So they'll come in here with something to prove. And those two kids in particular will probably have a chip on their shoulder and, you know, want to prove that they could be playing FBS football. And, you know, we just seen it a couple of years ago with Jacksonville State and Florida State. You pretty much every week early in the year, you're going to see an FCS versus FBS upset if you check the scoreboard. And let's hope this week it's not us.
Well, we scared money don't make money, right? That's what we heard that little saying, you know, in the last weekend. I think a certain college game, a coach going for it, you know, going for the big play for the score. And we've got it again this week, you know, regardless of the opponent. I think we have got to be aggressive. I really hope we don't go back into a shell and ball control first and second quarter. I think we got to go out like it's the fifth quarter of the game we just played. We don't need to be doing onside kicks, obviously. But, you know, let's open up our playbook and use this opportunity to, you know, we got some room for forgiveness in this game. Let's go out and get some guys some experience and get some snaps. And these guys are dangerous. I mean, you've got a multi-threat quarterback who can run and pass it. And I think Coach Houston – is 0-3, I think, against this team, which That's is an interesting great. Little side note. We've heard him talk about that, had a little fun with that. But, you know, I don't think that he's definitely not going to take these guys lightly. And our guys have hopefully are ready to come back at home with a loud and rowdy-dowdy and, you know, ready to kind of put on a show. First night game under the lights, Dottie Ficklin, all that good stuff. I mean, it should be an electric environment, great tailgating environment. And I think, knock on wood, we're fairly healthy. Get out here and continue to develop this thing. But you're right. I mean, you know, protect the ball, play disciplined football, get some good experience. I mean, you know what your goals are. You know, this should be a first half where we try to play at an elite level, not just to get through and can ball control an elite level in all three phases of the game, so we can have an opportunity in the second half to kind of see who else is. Who's out here, who can come up and compete. The best thing I love about games like this is there are practice players and, you know, there are game players. I would love to find one or two guys on both sides of the ball that when they step across that line under the lights, you know, they just show those instincts that sometimes that you only see when the pressure's on, right? So let's hope we get a chance with a couple of guys on both sides of the ball.
You remember AT back in, 2012? When we had an injury at running back and then another running back suspended, and we were down to our third string running back named Montavious Cooper against UTEP.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we found out he was a pretty good running back.
We sure did. Absolutely.
So you find somebody like that this week who hadn't touched the ball yet. Maybe, you know, we got two great running backs. Maybe Pop McKay touches the ball and he's lightning in a bottle. You know, who knows? Maybe somebody that, you know, that's not even on the radar gets in the ball game and make play after play. What I'd love to see, you know, and I know this isn't really Coach Houston's mindset, who knows, but I'd love to see us try to score 50 in the first half. Tell the guys, let's see if we can get 50 in the first half and come as close as we can and then empty the bench in the second. And, you know, then again, Charleston Southern's going to be trying too. We might not have that opportunity. Don't want to disrespect our opponent, but I'm like you, AT. I think if we come out and we go hard, don't play conservative, and try to put up as many points as we can, be wide open, we could get a lot of guys in the second half.
And the good thing about the final, you know, 7 or 8 minutes of last week, you know, on the road, first true road game, you know, they were fairly quick drives, but we put together, for the first time this year, multiple sustained drives in a row. And we had a situation where we used all 11 of our players on offense and quarterback, you know, in many ways, you know, to help sustain what we call the Patrick Pinckney, the moving of the chains, right? Find a way to get the first down, keep the thing moving. So it'll be interesting to see how much, you know, if we go back into training wheels, you know, from a quarterback position, or if we allow Holton, like I said, let the big dog eat, feed the big dog, let him do his thing. I would love to see us go 2 and 3 deep at quarterback by the end of this game. Even beyond Garcia, we've got some talent at quarterback. Yeah. I would love to see who's our gentleman from Texas? Is it Stubblefield?
Stubblefield is awesome. He's a great athlete.
Loved him in the spring game, sat next to his dad and got to know them a little bit. And a guy who has a lot of Pinckney-esque qualities and the way he is able to move in the pocket and, you know, not a big, super strong arm, but just an accurate guy who has good field vision. I would love to see a chance for Garcia and all three of these guys to maybe get a chance to see the field a little bit and get a few linemen out there as well to see what they can do, you know, on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Guys, and go ahead, Dave.
Guys, we had a chance to talk to – when we talked to Coach Denson, we talked to him also about special teams, and let's ask him about that right now.
Another topic related to that, you always hear these pundits in media that are always, you know, talking Power 5 and wanting to move the so-called Group of Five and the FCS to the spring. I would imagine – what are your thoughts on that? I know for me – I didn't see a lot of coverage of FCS football this past spring. And, you know, we were in the middle of baseball season here. So, you know, we you know, as an outsider of an FBS program, I didn't follow it as much as I thought I would. I think football should be played in the fall. I have no interest in seeing FCS or Group of Five move to the spring permanently.
Absolutely, man. Football is meant to be played in the fall. And I just think that was conversation, different things that, you know, just the general stuff that happens, you know, the water cooler talk and all of that stuff. But I don't think you'll find anybody that will say that they rather flip and play in the spring as opposed to playing in the fall. Now, I'll tell you what I will. And I know this is something that's been floating out there. I think it would be good if you could play a spring game versus someone else. You know, start moving to that, yeah. Especially where we're located, where you have your Clemson's, your South Carolina, your Coastals. You have other schools, because the one thing everyone, and I don't care if it's Power Five or not, what you struggle with in the spring is depth, right? And actually having a quality spring game, because there's going to be a position that's going to be depleted just because you've lost your seniors and you haven't brought the freshmen on. And I think it can also, from an FCS standpoint, be another revenue stream. And so I am in favor of that, because I think that it'll give you kind of what we got in the spring, right, Kyle, which is what we got a more in-depth evaluation because we were able to see our guys against someone else. But to say a total season, I don't think you'll find anybody that would be up for that.
How about that? So something I hate that, AT, I hate that talk about Group of Five to begin with, but to move us and FBS to spring is the lamest idea. And I hear talking heads talk about that. I can promise you folks on this show, you'll never hear, I don't know if I'm pretty sure you won't agree with that, but I'll let you answer that. But I don't want to see those games move to the spring.
You know, the only people that would be possibly discussing that would be anybody who, you know, maybe played board games in high school and didn't play football and didn't experience what a brisk November or October 9 of, you know, football was about. I mean, somebody that is looking for product to place on TV sometime in the spring because there's a lull in activity. And under no circumstance would I be in any way, it is interesting, the concept of maybe having a game, you know, at the conclusion of drills, maybe a regional opponent and having a matchup, and maybe that's a little bit of a revenue producer. That concept it interests me, you know, rather than playing a purple gold game or whatever else. How cool would it be to have, you know, 1 year you play App, 1 year you play State, 1 year you play South Carolina?
Oh, I don't know if you want to do that, AT. I was thinking more like Louisville.
Hey, we're just.
I'm thinking more like Louisville City State.
We can have fun with this. We can have fun with this. Why not treat it as something as a way to just kind of.
I need to get players hurt for a game that doesn't count. I don't believe I can play.
They get hurt in the spring game, you know. Get hurt in the spring game. So,
South Carolina.
And again, you see the pro teams do this all the time. They go travel to Denver and have controlled scrimmages. And, you know, maybe you're not out there treating it like it's a Super Bowl, but I think there'd be some intrigue with a spring match. Anyway, hey, you asked me and I told you. I mean, throwing interesting ideas out there that, you know, could be a wrinkle, you know, in terms of something that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you on playing a non-conference game. I'm with you on playing a different opponent during the spring besides yourself. I just wouldn't go with another FCS program. I'd go FCS Division II, Division III. I do not see FBS coaches wanting to go for FBS versus FBS in the spring. Could be wrong, but I can't imagine. The only upside to that, AT, may be what you just said. they may go, well, hell, South Carolina's not going to want to get their kids hurt either. So it may actually be safer than playing somebody like Elizabeth City State that would just be dying to beat East Carolina.
Treat it like a Super Bowl, right? The way to kick off your next season, right? Hey, you know, if we're looking for any intrigue for the spring, to me, that would be a wrinkle that may not be a bad thing for folks to take a look at.
But. No, I think playing anybody else in the spring, having an actual game where, you know, you could sell tickets, you know, I think it would definitely be a revenue generator for sure.
How about that? When, that's one of the things we talk about, we need to get Jeff Barber too. We had a comment from him about East Carolina. We'll do that in just a second, but. AT, one of the things I sent from The Athletic was the fact that about the expansion for the American and about our TV deal may go down even significantly down. But what about that? If you could add some games like that in the spring, some big time matchups, that might help our TV deal, guys.
Well, the TV deal, look, we lost three big time schools with UCF, Houston, Cincinnati. So, yeah, we're going to lose some money in TV. I don't know how much it's going to be. It's going to be who we replace them with. You know, will the Mountain West thing work out? Who knows? I think that's going to also be kind of dictated on. I think we're asking ESPN now for some ideas on numbers, on if we get this school or this school, how much will it go down? And I think that's kind of what's holding things up. But – it's going to go down some. The question is how much.
Let me say this. It's interesting to hear the very guarded language that Oresco is using. We do have a pretty good poker player. There's been some times we looked around on this campus, and who's at AD or maybe in some other leagues who happened to be the commissioner and maybe not had some confidence, but we've got a guy who's been around the block in this media game and in this horse trading game that is out there, and hearing the coded language of him saying that, you know, we aren't pursuing anybody that's not pursuing us right now, is some pretty interesting language to hear. And some of the trial balloons being floated out there with some of these teams. I mean, Colorado State, San Diego State, you haven't heard Boise said as much here the past week or so. And, you also often hear, bird in the hand versus, bird in the bush or whatever, right? If they're waiting for an invite from the Big 12 that may or may not come years down the road, you wonder if that's a smart move for some of these teams. But I mean, if it's about the media deal, then I think that clearly defines the three or four teams you probably need to be at the top of the list if they're interested, if they're inclined. You know, for us, obviously, we'd love to add a regional rivalry, one or two, in our backyard. There's some obvious candidates. Two of them are playing right now on the screen in front of me, right? And other candidates that make a lot of sense. But if it's about saving our media deal and being competitive long term, then and hearing some of the language from Oresco, I think this move further westward probably has a lot of merit. No, not on my opinion, but in terms of keeping the media deal together. You know, you've even heard some outlandish talk about, it's a different league now going back to UConn. Whether they would have an interest in coming back in the league, being engaged, but anyway, there's a lot of talk right now. I mean, look, there's 20 teams that would love that would jump at the chance to go to the AAC. And it's just a matter of which one enhance our probability with the next round of poaching that we know is probably going to come. I still feel strongly, and I don't have any inside scoop on this, but I still feel strongly that the Big 12, that Kansas and Oklahoma State will eventually leave the Big 12 as well. At some point, I think a deal will get worked out. It's going to take a little bit longer, but I feel, there'll be another shift in this maybe in the next 24 months.
If the trash football league known as the Pac-12 had a brain in their head, they would invite in Oklahoma State and TCU and maybe Texas Tech also
immediately.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing, but the Mountain West thing, what I keep reading is Boise is not interested. San Diego State may not be. Air Force definitely is. That's something that I've heard for a while now, that Air Force wanted out of the Mountain West, and obviously Navy being in the same conference with them would be appealing to them. And then, you know, Colorado State's in the same state with them. So, and Colorado State has not been very successful in the Mountain West recently. So sometimes you feel like you need a new home. And I know in recent years, they've recruited the East Coast a lot, Colorado State I'm speaking of. So having an opportunity to play out East some and get into Texas would probably be beneficial to them. Is Air Force and Colorado State enough to warrant going out west? If Boise and San Diego State aren't going to come, you know, is Colorado State and Air Force enough to warrant going that far west? Granted, Colorado is a lot closer to Texas than people realize. I've heard speculation that it's going to be Air Force, Colorado State, UTSA, and UAB.
Yeah, a lot of talk about UAB because of the emerging market opportunity there. I was hoping that there would be more chatter about Army or somebody getting back in the Northeastern media market somehow, but haven't heard a lot of chatter on that here the past couple of weeks. But you know, Oresco is a wily guy. So I'm sure that, you know, it's like waiting for the papal, you know, the Pope to be named, right? Waiting for the smoke, the puffs of smoke. But I think we'll probably know sooner than later as they kind of narrow in on some of these candidates, because with all the notifications that have to come in play, you know, multiple years in advance and paying exit fees, Every league has these traps now, right?
Mm-hmm. So
you have, if you're looking to do something in 2024, you got to put the word out now.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I'll say this, and we'll move on from the topic. If the Mountain West stuff doesn't work out, what I don't want to see the American do is just go straight to aftermarkets. I don't want to see the league, all right, let's take Charlotte, let's take Georgia State, let's take UAB, and let's take FIU. You know, Miami, Charlotte, Atlanta. I don't want to see us do that. I think that was a mistake for Conference USA. The Sun Belt took the path of taking the best football teams they could. Look where the Sun Belt is now. Look where Conference USA is now. One's got a bunch of ESPN games. The other's playing on Facebook.
Drop the mic. Yeah, and one more point, too, is the fact, guys, I told you guys this earlier, and then we'll get to Jeff Barber here in a second, but I told you guys earlier today the very fact of what I'd like to see. My pick would be get the two that we're hearing about in the Mountain West. We have Air Force and also Colorado State, and then get kind of a compromise. The West will be those two teams for the TV, and give us Appalachian State and Marshall in the East. And then that way you definitely have some football.
Yeah, I think that those guys all, I would assume, are definitely in the mix. I mean, you've probably got, you know, ultimately you're going to have some prima donnas there, some programs that maybe think they're a little more worth than they are. We'll see whether, you know, these negotiations and discussions, and maybe that's Boise, you know, in this certain scenario, and that could come full circle. So we shall see, but there's a lot of merit for Appalachia, no doubt, and Marshall and UAB can make a great argument. A program that had the death penalty a few years ago with the University of Alabama system literally shutting them down, you know, and their resurgence in the market. But you know, it's going to be an interesting 3 to 6 months. And I'm telling you, we're going to know more about this sooner than later, in my opinion.
All right, and let's go now. We'll go now to Jeff Barber. We had a chance to talk to him yesterday, and we're talking to him about East Carolina. And let's go to that clip with Jeff Barber. Let's go to that right now. All right, Bubba's having a hard time. I'm sure he'll get that to him in just a second. He's in Boone tonight at the
Bubba's trying to enjoy a game. He's in Boone watching.
You're not only an alum of East Carolina, but a Greenville native going all the way back, I know you said, to 1961. How crazy is it to, you know how rowdy Dowdy can be, Dowdy Ficklin? How crazy is it you're coming back as a director of athletics for a different school?
It's pretty crazy, David. I thought about it quite a bit. I think we've had the contract for a couple of years now, and I thought a lot about it. You know, the weird thing is, I've done this long enough. I've been at five different schools now, including East Carolina, that I know when I walk through the tailgate lots or whatever, you know, I'm going to get the whatevers, and because I, you know, be wearing a blue Buccaneer shirt or something, and you know, they got no idea that the guy that they're talking to or speaking to or whatever. whatever you want to call it, that there, he's an East Carolina graduate, and kind of, you know, I was back there with Dave Hart and all that kind of thing. So it's fine. You know, it is what it is. You know, you do this business long enough and you don't, you learn to not take things personal that people don't realize, but it's going to be a lot of fun, but you know, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Talk about how this matchup came to be. You said, I know it's a contract that had been in place for a couple years, at least now, but John Gilbert, he made it clear that East Carolina was looking for early season FCS opponents, probably one a year. And then, you know, obviously Charleston Southern likes to play an FBS opponent on occasion. So how did this game come about?
You know, Bubba, to be honest, I think it was pre-John. I'm pretty sure. I could check the contract and see. But the way it happened is, when you're an FCS program like ours, if you want to do something like put in a new video scoreboard, we've got to pay for it. And it doesn't, you know, we don't have the media rights. We don't have the money from the school necessarily. So basically, the way we do that here is with game guarantees. So we're actually playing Georgia the last game of the year, and we got East Carolina this year. So I'm thinking it was about 2 years ago. I was trying to buy a Daktronics, a 52-foot video board, 10-millimeter pixel and all that fun stuff. You guys know about that. And I needed a game. So they said, well, we've got, you know, you got this game scheduled and whatever. So there's a fellow by the name of Dave Brown who works with Gridiron, and he's kind of the master scheduler for college football. So we have a website, and I went on there, and there was a number of teams, you know, FBS schools looking to buy a game for that particular date. And fortunately, East Carolina was one of them. I kind of had a little bit of a, do I really want to go back and this, but yeah, I do. So actually, believe it or not, the money that we'll make from this game will helped us buy a new big football video board for our football stadium. So I think it was about 2 years ago.
Wow, that was Jeff Barber there on East Carolina. By the way, if you want to see those interviews, you can just subscribe to our YouTube channel. It gives you a chance to see the whole interview. Over 30 minutes he spent with us yesterday. Alan, what a class act that he is, and I appreciate him coming on and spending some time with us yesterday afternoon with Bubba and I. It was such a great time with him, and class act. So you can do that. Also, the coach, Oscar Jensen, was over 1 minute long. Coach spent time with us. Alan, you want to talk about a great guy, a guy of his family, faith. He also is one that after practice, he spent time in his office and spent time with us on Tuesday night.
Yeah, are you talking about Jeff Barber?
Well, first with yesterday afternoon, he was wrapping up his day, but on Wednesday afternoon, but Tuesday night, Coach spent 20 minutes plus with us, and spend time with his family, but he spent time out of his day to be with us on the objective.
Yeah, just a phenomenal human being, I tell you. Just as you say, just a class act, and it's great when you get a chance to spend, just get a glimpse into the world of these professionals, guys, and just see, you know, how much sacrifice that they make for these kids and for their program, and look, they're paid for it, no doubt about it, but it's just great to meet the quality human beings that are out there, you know, just doing great. Because we've met them all now. We've met the good, the bad, and the ugly, as Clint Eastwood said. And it's good to really spend time around the quality guys and see them do it right.
Hey, you don't have to go that far back, Alan, the last 7 years to have that movie.
True, true, true. And Jeff Barber, every time I get a chance to talk about Jeff, I want to do it. I mean, Jeff's a guy, quite frankly, you know, it's a merry-go-round, right? It's a carousel. And the timing has to be right. He's a guy that, you know, was often thought would be the athletic director at East Carolina, you know, at some point over the past. And he's had quite an interesting ride, you know, with some great jobs. And everywhere he's been, he's really built, you know, tremendous programs. And so I think a lot of Jeff and the work that he has done. And we know his resume, and he's a member of the family, and that's awesome to kind of just see the Pirate family and see what he's able to do from that point. And so great to have him back, you know, on campus here and this weekend, and it'll be like a homecoming, almost like if we played UT Chattanooga or, you know, one of those schools down in Mississippi. You know, our pedigree on the administrative side really reaches out now, you know, and some really some really great examples of folks who have really learned a lot here at ECU and expanded out in college athletics.
And they I
was going to comment on Jeff Barbarazzo. I love Jeff. Obviously, with the namesake here, no relation. He's somebody that, you know, when the job came up in last time and, you know, Dave Hart did that deep dive. Boy, that was $600,000 well spent, wasn't it? I thought maybe Jeff would be back. But unfortunately, you know, nothing against John Gilbert, but, you know, I thought, you know, maybe we'd bring back somebody like Jeff Barber or, you know, my boy there at Eastern Michigan. But didn't happen. And glad to have Jeff back this weekend.
By the way, that $600,000, Alan, in the green room before you jumped on, Kyle and I were talking, wouldn't that $600,000 be nice for indoor practice facility?
I knew where you were going with that. I'm not sure if the GoFundMe craze is going to pull this off, but, you know, if we have one singular focus on something that we do to help move this program forward the next 12 months, we've got folks that can pull that off. We really need to. I like to see somebody really take that initiative in the athletic department and make that happen, put the right people together and make it happen. So we'll see. But you know what? It takes inspiration and perspiration, right, to pull that off. And somebody needs to step up and own it and help make it happen.
Hey, AT, you're the former mayor of Greenville. You're well connected. Can't you pick up the phone and call Vince McMahon and let's have the WWE indoor practice? I mean, wouldn't that be great?
Hey, I wanted the school of professional wrestling here. Are you kidding me? Why not? Why not be the first to, you know, make that happen and, you know, show how to jump off the turnbuckle, right?
Hey, look, I got a better idea. Vince McMahon has no interest in East Carolina. Why don't we call Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, the son of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and say, "Hey, look, we're Vince McMahon's alma mater. We know you're trying to beat him. He don't want to help us. So wouldn't that be a slap in his face if you gave to his university?"
Hey, man, you're right.
The AEW stadium or whatever.
Yeah, let's do it.
No doubt. Hey guys, before we wrap this thing up, I want to get some final thoughts on Charleston Southern and what are you thinking going into Saturday night's game? Whoever wants to take it first.
I think we need to handle our business. Don't want to take anybody for granted, but this is a game you need to win, and you need to win big. I got a feeling we're going to have a surprisingly good crowd. It's family weekend. Family weekend sometimes draws better than homecoming weekend at East Carolina for whatever reason. Coming off that big win, I saw a lot of Pirate fans suddenly that weren't going that are going. So it'd be nice to put on a show and, you know, have a fun atmosphere in there. And that's what, you know, there hasn't been a lot of fun moments in Daddy Ficklin over the last few years. Just be nice to go in there and have some fun Saturday.
I agree, Kyle. And, hey, there are a lot of fans, you know, in close circles that late third quarter said they weren't coming. This coming Saturday, a lot of folks were, you know, are feeling pretty down, and it's amazing what 7 minutes and 40 seconds will do for you, right? Pirates, it never comes easy. The struggle is real. Ain't easy being a pirate. You know, it's all true. The chip, you know, embrace it. That's who we are, but we are internal optimists, and I feel we'll have a good crowd here. The weather is going to be, this is a phenomenal, you know, 79 degree high, sunny night game, everything ECU football is all about. People that weren't able to make it to Huntington, love to come and see what this team is capable of. And let's just hope that this turns into the fifth and sixth quarter, right, of what we started last week. And again, I said, regardless of opponent, we're playing against ourselves, I think, this week in terms of being able to string together and feed off of what we did last week. And show that we're the program that beat Marshall, not the program that lost to South Carolina and Appalachian. As I look up here with Marshall in the lead, you know, late in the third quarter.
And driving.
Just tells you what we're capable of, guys. Let's just go, you know, I don't know if we're going to lay 50 on somebody in the first half, Kyle, but why not let that be the goal? Let's excel in offense and defense, put ourselves in a position to see what kind of team we are going forward. Just look forward to it.
By the way, touchdown Marshall, they just won it by two scores on App State. That's the same team we beat Saturday night. So Pirate fans, yep, get excited. We have the capability to be a good football team. And by the way, you mentioned 79 degrees Saturday for the high, 52 is the projected low. I know you ladies get excited about your hoodies and sweaters, so break them out. But remember, you can still wear shorts with a hoodie.
All right, guys, I have one final question. Both of you are Pirate fans. So for the long tailgate that we have a night game, I got a question for you. So Bojangles or beer for breakfast? Which one are you going to take? Kyle or Alan?
For breakfast?
Yeah. It's a long tailgate. Yeah,
oh, my God. That is a long tailgate if we're doing it at breakfast.
Kyle's a big White Claw guy, so you might want to talk to him about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're right. My favorite for raspberry. No, I'm going to go Bojangles and a little Jim Beam, actually. But let's go with a Cajun filet and a Jim Beam and Coke.
I would agree with a little a foundation of some heavy biscuits and grease early on, and as your anchor, as you move on through a long tailgate through the day, and maybe you steal a nap around 2 o'clock, and rally up, get ready for the game. So,
no question about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Pirates. By the way, before we go, if anybody wants to sponsor our show, then make sure that you do so. And AT, you're well connected. So anybody that wants to sponsor AT and Kyle Barber, maybe we'll have a Kyle likes to cut a lot of promos, so maybe we can do that. But I want a guy that I know very well.
If AT was going to cut a promo, it would be in vain of Eric Bischoff. That's for damn sure.
Whatever it takes, Kyle. Whatever it takes, brother. Let's do it.
You got to let your hair go. I don't know. Well, you don't dye your hair. Eric dyed his hair for years. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. You know. Eric's gone gray now. But I'm sure you've heard that before. That you look like Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, but
I'll take it, man. I'll take it. You guys have done a phenomenal job, building this brand and bringing great content. I mean, you talked about it before. You know, it's you bring great local flavor. You also bring national flavor with Charlie Ward and all the other coaches and people that are, that are really icons in the game. And just a phenomenal job with this product, guys. I look forward to bigger and better things and being involved with you with the programming and what you're doing. It's awesome.
Thank you. That great sponsor, by the way, my friend Tim Neal, is Surveillance and Security Solutions. So make sure that you definitely, if you have any kind of security detail, you're like Alan Thomas and you're a VIP and you need security, like bodyguards around you, Tim can do that. You need private eye work, Tim can do it. They can do it all, but it's Surveillance and Security Solutions. Appreciate them sponsor the show and being a part of it. As we grow, and I told T earlier about some ideas we have, we're going to grow this thing, then we're going to need more and more sponsors. So I appreciate that very, very much. Kyle, buddy, appreciate you very much. The tailgate slots will open. Guys, help me out. I know that 6 o'clock game. So is that 6 hours at a time? Is that a noon?
I think it's a nooner when the tailgate fields, will be open. I guarantee you people will be lined up and ready. And it's what it's all about. You know, fall in Eastern North Carolina and the wafting smoke of those pig cookers and just that smell of great food and laughter and music and all the things that make Greenville special and East Carolina football special and Pirate Nation. So buckle up and get in here and have a great time on Saturday.
No doubt about it. I love my new parking space. It just means I'm old, 48 years old. I finally am able to park near the stadium. So, by the way, I want to let everybody know, speaking of after the game, we're going to have our Pirate playback sometime around 10:30 or so. Hopefully people will join us. Maybe we can do it live there, guys, on the tailgate fields if you guys have time. Maybe we can do it there, but that'll be coming up around 10:30. Something depends on the – I don't know how long that game. It might be shorter. Who knows? But it'll be definitely Saturday night after the game, our Pirate football playback, and hopefully we're talking about a victory, guys. So I'm not going to take anything for granted until after the fact, no doubt. I appreciate you guys, AT. Thanks to Jeff Barber and also the Charleston Southern University head football coach, Autry Denson. Appreciate him as well. Thank you, Bubba, for producing and Boone very much to the game. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to the Pirate Preview right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirate.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!